11 at our gospel crusade at the Providence Baptist Church. On the 16th of April 1976, I got baptized and served the Lord at Providence for many years as Sunday school teacher, youth leader, and deacon, lay preacher. And I did correspondence course through Moody Bible Institute. And in 1994, I was called to be the pastor of the Spice Grove Baptist Church. And in 1996, I was called to be the pastor of my home church. That is the church I got saved in, got baptized, and they are serving the Lord in both churches. As was mentioned, I served the Baptist Fellowship in Jamaica, which consists of 45 churches and growing, as its president, and I am humbled to serve those 45 churches as its leader. And I continue to labor for the Lord as I serve with my local police as its chaplain. And I also served with the Awana Ministries of Jamaica as a ministry team member, and also served as a notary public for the island of Jamaica. So there are many things that yours truly as a humble servant is involved in serving the Lord, as I believe that in serving others, as you serve the Lord, you are able to also minister to their particular needs and helping them to come to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we continue to serve the Lord there in Jamaica, we pray that you pray for us, and we also encourage you that you can partner with us, that we can be partners together on that side of Jamaica as we seek to reach out to others in getting them into the kingdom of God through faith, and that as we serve Him, that your hand will be involved in our work. So thank you, Pastor, for allowing us this opportunity to come here to share with your people what God is doing in Jamaica. I must say to you that also in our partnership that you can partner with us being involved in Vacation Bible School. You can send a mission team or partner with somebody, another church, in bringing a missions team to Jamaica, in doing Vacation Bible School or street meetings or devotions in school. I must tell you that we have this freedom of doing devotions in all of our schools, both from the primary, our beginners, right up through high school. And we can take anyone into those schools and talk about Jesus, sing about Jesus, preach about Jesus, and give an invitation to our children to trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. All right, so that's one of the great opportunities that we have of ministering to our boys and girls in our schools, in our public schools as well as our private schools. And so and even in our hospitals, on Sunday evening we do have a hospital ministry where we take our people to the hospitals and we pray for the sick, we, you know, talk to them about the Lord, and we can sing, you know, on the wards, and everybody get involved, you know. And so this is a great opportunity for ministry. All right, so we want to encourage you, partner with us and be a part of those ministries that you can get involved in coming to Jamaica. At the back of the room, we have a display board with our prayer cards and other things concerning IGM. And we ask that you just stop by, take a look, talk with us before you leave here. Again, it is my delight and pleasure to be here to share with you tonight. I'm going to invite you to your Bibles, if you have one, and I hope you have one, to John chapter 6, the St. John and chapter 6. The St. John and chapter 6. And verses 1 through to 14. I'm sure it's a familiar story. You must have probably read it before. But I want you, my brothers and sisters, as we look at this story, and in particular verse number 9, I'm interested in the phrase in verse 9, where the question is asked, what are they among so many? There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Let us pray. Lord, bless your word now to our hearts, and may thy name be glorified. Speak to us, we pray, Father, and help us to be responsive to what we hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. What are they among so many? Something small placed in the hands of Jesus can be made big. It has always been the desire of Jesus to meet the needs of people. It doesn't matter what your needs are, what your situations are, that Jesus has always desired to meet the needs of people. It has always been the desire of Jesus to be what is right for what is wrong in people's lives. Brothers and sisters, I'm sure you must have heard the term that little is much when God is in it. And he will get it when you give him what you have got. He can only have what you give to him. We serve a big God. We serve a God whose name is big. We serve a God who is a God of love, a big God of love. His mercy is big. He wrote a big book called the Bible, the Word of God. He has a big son whose name is Jesus. He performed big miracles. He prayed big prayers. He shed big blood, his precious blood. He died by a big death so that you and I, through his big resurrection, he sent a big spirit. So he saved big sinners like you and I. And by his grace, we have big joy. And so we can praise his name because he's a big God. He's big, and God is big, but he's not only big so, but he does some things using little things. And I want us tonight, as we look in God's word, that he can take some small thing and do some really big thing. Moses had a little stick, but it was a mighty rod when he got into the hands of Jesus. It became big. And from the burning bush, he asked Moses, "What is that in your hand?" And when that which was in Moses' hand got into the hands of Jesus, the little rod became what God use it. David had a little sling, but it became a mighty weapon of war when God got it, got in the sling. And can you imagine the eyes of the world? How foolish David must have looked going to fight a Goliath with a sling. The giant was bigger than David. He was more experienced than David had. He had more equipment than David had. And all that than Goliath had, and all that David had was a sling with 5 rocks. And the giant laughed, but David shouted, "For the battle is the Lord's." And he said to Goliath, "Thou camest to me with a sword, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord." And he picked up 5 stones, and I believe that one of those stones was for Goliath, the other 4 was for his brothers. And he hit the giant right in the head, and Goliath fell to the ground. My brothers and sisters, maybe you think that all you have in your hand is a sling or a stick. But when God get in it, when you give him what you've got, he can use it. You know the story of Jesus watched a little widow woman casting 2 mites into the collection plate. And Jesus said, "This poor woman has cast in more than all the others put together. She have given more than the rest. Because little is much when God is in it. And when God got what he got into it. He got into it. And what God did, he made it big." Moses had a stick and David had a sling. And the widow woman had only 2 mites. The little lad in our text had 2 small fishes. 2 small fishes and 5 loaves. And it got into the hands of Jesus. It was not just enough to feed the crowd. It was more than enough. It was not just enough. It was more than enough. For little is much when God is in it. And he will get into it when you give him what you've got. Our text in John chapter 6 tells us of the great starving multitude. They were hungry, they were empty, and they needed bread. And 3 descriptions describe our world today. Our world is scattered. They're abroad. They are sick because of their sin. Their souls are starving. And there's only one place that they can get their souls fed. And that is in Jesus Christ. It is only in Jesus Christ can they find hope or rest. The multitude here were searching. And looking because they were empty. What was missing as the bread that Jesus gives was missing from them. What is missing is the life that Jesus gives. And I'm glad tonight, and I'm always glad that Jesus is not used to be the answer, but that Jesus is the answer. He is the answer. I am glad that he is not used to be the way, but that he is the way. He is the only way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the rose of Sharon. He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright and morning star. He is the savior for sinners and no one else. The multitude were hungry. And we have the answer. The multitude are hungry and we have the one that they need. And that is Jesus. Amen. But again we are reminded that little is much when God is in it. For when he gets into it, into what we've got, then God can use it. I want you to notice three things from our text tonight. The condition of the multitude. The multitude followed Jesus into the wilderness. And it was evening time and they were hungry and in need of bread. My brothers and sisters, this is a picture of the world to which God has called you and I to minister. The world is hungry. The world needs Jesus. The world is in spiritual darkness. The world is in a desert place. They do not have what it needs. Because what they need is Jesus. That's the greatest need. And may I remind you that the answer is not in politics. Amen. The answer is not in materialism. The answer is not in a man-made religion. Man's greatest need is a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That is man's greatest need. The supply of man's greatest need is in Christ. Let me remind you, it is not sold in a store. You can't buy it on the internet. It can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ at the foot of the cross, where the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sins. Right. Our world is in darkness. It is evening time and the night is coming. If the multitude is going to get fed and have their needs met, somebody had better hurry to them. Otherwise, they're going to die for hunger. Let us remind ourselves that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We have got what the multitude need. We have got it. What they really need is Jesus. Amen. And you and I have got it. We have to give it to them. The second thing I want us to note is not only the condition of the multitude, but the carnality of the men. Jesus' disciples got together and had a committee meeting. And here they checked the budget. And then they came back to Jesus saying, "We can't do it. We don't have it. It's too big. The crowd is too big. We can't afford it. It costs too much. It's too great to do." That's why they came back. These were Jesus' disciples. And what they said to Jesus, "Send them away." To whom? If Jesus has the answer, to whom then should he send them away? This was the conclusion that the disciples come to. Send the multitudes away. Where did they think that Jesus would send them? Remember where they were? In the wilderness. In a desert place. It was evening time. The Bible said they were hungry. So where would they go to find food at that time? And which store would have so much food to sell or to even give away for all of these to have? They were at the right place. They were in the presence of Jesus at the right place, at the right time, with the right person. My brothers and sisters, if sinners do not and cannot come to Jesus for salvation and for satisfaction, there is no other place they can go. And if they don't find it in us as believers, where then can they go? If they cannot find it in the church of Jesus Christ, where then can they go? There is no other gospel. There is no other Savior. There is no option. It is either Jesus or hell. It is either that they are saved or they are lost. It is either that they are going to go to heaven or they are going to go to hell. But the disciples say, send them away. And they knew what Jesus could do. Because remember, they had seen Jesus doing many miracles. They have witnessed Jesus doing many things. So what was impossible in this situation for Jesus not to take care of? Was it the same disciples who saw Jesus turn water into wine? And they watched him? Then they saw Jesus taking the woman at the well and changing her life? Were not the same disciples who watched him as he made the lame to walk? So what was so hard for Jesus to feed all of these who were there? This was the same Jesus who could feed the multitude, because little is much when God is in it. Amen. And he will get into it if you will give him what you've got. But guess what? But when he thought it was easier to let them go without bread and to feed them, aren't you glad that when you are only a heartbeat away from hell, God put somebody in your life who didn't say, send them away? God put somebody in your life who prayed for you? God put somebody in your life who witnessed to you? And here you are as a saved person. You are no longer hungry. Instead, you are well fed at the master's table. So how can you say, send them away? My brothers and sisters, God may have something for you to do that may not be in your budget. He may have something weighing on you that you will not get past your first committee. But I tell you that no matter how bad it looks, no matter how bad it tastes, no matter how it smells, no matter how it hurts, little is much when God is in it. And he will get into it when you give him what you've got. Because this is what we see. God got into. And you see what God did. Look at the command of Jesus. When the disciples told Jesus to send them away, he said, they need not depart. They need not depart. And I'm glad, I am so glad that when you were lost, and you were on your way to a burning hill, Jesus said, you don't have to go there. I have come to tell you that you and your children and your family don't need to go to hell, because Jesus said, send them not away. Jesus said, give heed them to eat. And they asked, with what? What are we going to give them to eat? Jesus said, don't send them away. Let the men sit down first. My brothers and sisters, give me the little you have and I'll make it big, says Jesus. I thank God for Andrew, who went to the Lord and said, there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. However, Andrew was still with the negative crowd. You remember what he said? But, what are they among so many? Lord, there is a lad here that has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they? How are they going to eat? I'm here to give you the good news that little is much. When God is in it, and He will get into it when we give Him what we have got. Because until we give Him what we have got, then He will not be able to get into it. When Jesus said, bring them hither to me, He was talking about fish and bread and the little boy. Bring them! So the little boy came, and Andrew brought him. Can you imagine Andrew going through the crowd trying to get to this boy where there were 5,000 men and others, and he was trying to get to the crowd to get to this boy and bring him down to Jesus. And as I can see him going through the crowd, walking up and said, Jesus, this is the little boy that I brought to you with his lunch. This is the little boy. And he said to the little boy, son, this is Jesus. And that little boy is going to say, hi, Jesus. And I love the response of Jesus. He took the loaves in verse 11. He didn't say, son, who gave you your lunch? He didn't say, son, go back home and tell your mother to bake some more loaves and go down to the sea and ask the fishermen to give you some more fish. No. The Bible said he took the loaves and he gave thanks. He took the loaves and he gave thanks. It wasn't much, but he took it and he gave thanks. There may be something small in your hand, but when it gets into the hands of God, little is much when God is in it, and he will get it when you give him what you've got. After Jesus took the loaves and the fishes, the Bible said he gave thanks. Can you just imagine what goes through the thoughts of this little boy's mind when he heard Jesus thanking his heavenly Father for food he got from him? I am so glad that when you give Jesus what you've got, he'll take what you've given to him and he fling a blessing on it. So that's what he did. He threw a blessing on what that little boy had, and he gave thanks for it and he blesses the little boy. If that little boy had tried to feed the multitude by himself, he wouldn't have got very far. Remember his mother? I believe it was his mother who packed him that for his lunch. And that mother believed that that was just sufficient for his son. It was just sufficient. But God got it. And he blesses it. And 5,000 men and their wives and children sat and ate. He could have eaten his entire lunch and not worried about the crowd because they should have brought something for themselves. But he didn't. He allowed God to use what he has given to him to bless others. So he was a blessing to so many others. What you give to the work of the Lord and to the cause of Jesus Christ, others are going to be blessed. And lives are going to be changed. Because little is much when God is in it. And he will get in it when you give him what you've got. If what is in your hand ever leaves your hand and gets into the hand of Jesus, there is no telling what he will do with what you have given to him. He will throw a blessing on it. And many lives are going to be changed by what you have given into the hands of Jesus. I'm sure if you should share your testimonies, as you may have been doing, of the blessings of God and what God has allowed others to bless you and how God has blessed your life because you have blessed others. Then this is a story of this little boy whose lunch has changed so many lives because he was willing to give it up into the hands of Jesus. And God throw a blessing on it. You want to see God throw a blessing on your life? Well, give God what you've got. And let him use it. Amen. Little as much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. Because God can do it. He has done it before. And he will do it again. If you are here tonight, you've never given your heart to Jesus, then I want to say to you tonight, if you will trust Jesus with your heart, I guarantee you that God will change your life and make you a difference. A difference as lives are going to be touched by your experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these, my brothers and sisters. We thank you for their faith in Christ. We thank you for their willingness to submit to you as Lord of their lives. We ask, O God, that as we give of ourselves to you, not only of ourselves, but our time and our talents to be used of you, that you will bless, we pray. Bless this church. Bless the pastor and his family. Bless those members who are here as they faithfully continue to labor in this vineyard, in this community of sharing the gospel of Christ. Help them, Lord, to give it all and see your work as they have seen you and your hand of work because of their willingness to give what they have got to the cause of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, may you come to bless them and continue to provide for them and make a way where there seems to be no way. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. God bless you.